Today, we'd like to see the title of a series of exhortations in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. Before starting, we see three questions. Number one, what purpose did disciple Paul give a series of exhortations to Thessalonians for? Number one, what purpose did Paul give a series of exhortations to Thessalonians for? Number two, why shouldn't we pay back evil for evil? Number two, why shouldn't we pay back evil for evil? The last question, how can we rejoice always, even among a lot of hardship in our life? How can we rejoice always, even among a lot of hardship in our life? Verse 12 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 12 through 28, disciple Paul give a lot of exhortations or a lot of instructions to the people. The purpose of these exhortations is verse 11, that talks about, first of all, comfort each other. Number two, edify one another. Edify meaning build one another up to the body of Christ. Therefore, disciple Paul gave verses 12 through 28. Number one, we urge you, meaning we ask you strongly, brethren, brothers in the body of Christ. We have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all together brothers and sisters. To recognize those who labor among you. So those who labor is a minister. Those who labor are ministers, like a pastor or evangelist or a missionary or a facilitator, deacon, elder, bishop. So whoever who minister to the Lord and the sheep of the Lord are those who labor among you, among Thessalonians Christians, and are over you in the Lord. Over you meaning leaders above church members. So leaders meaning, according to God's word, some people are leading other church members, other sheep of the Lord. Like Moses is a kind of leader. So also a person who impacts to other people, impact on other people, is called as those who are over you in the Lord. And admonish you. So those people advise you according to the word of God, or according to his testimony, or according to God's wisdom, so advise you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Esteem them very highly in love, simply meaning honor ministers highly as to the Lord, because they are working for God. They are ministering for God. And so they are serving you. So you should give encouragement to them, or you honor, respect them. So whenever he listens to your encouragements, those people are encouraged to keep on his ministry, those ministries. Their works' sake, works meaning ministry's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So peaceful, we should be peaceful among ours. Why? To build up the body of Christ, to edify each other, to to the body of Christ. That's why we should keep, you know, peaceable. No complaint, you know, no murmuring, no bad words. You know, just be at peace among yourselves. Live in peace with each other. Now we exhort you, or we encourage and correct you. Now we exhort you, or we urge you, brethren, brothers, when those who are unruly, which means those who break rule, break law. For example, the Bible says, Romans chapter 13, so we should obey authority. So chapter 13, verse 7 explains, we should pay government tax. But if some Christian didn't pay tax, that is, we should warn them to pay tax, because all authority come from God. So we should obey government law to pay tax law. So that is unruly, which meaning those who violated certain rule. Comfort the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted meaning like a coward or a timid. So some people are Christians, but they are coward to deliver gospel to unbeliever, or to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people. So, you know, you give, encourage them to deliver gospel to unbelievers by praying or giving God's word. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, in season, out of season, preach gospel. So regardless over time, or whether or not the listener listen or not, so you should deliver gospel to unbelievers. Some kind of encouraging word of God to them and pray for them. That's a comfort. The faint-hearted. Oppose the weak. Some people, the health condition is weak, so support the weak. For example, here, supporter ministers are there, so she is supporting, upholding your wheelchair. You know, that kind of stuff. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. So in order to edify the body of Christ, we should be patient with everyone, because patience is a characteristic of love, agape love. For example, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the lover, the characteristics, they explained patience as three kinds of characteristics. The first one, lover suffers long, is a kind of a patience requirement. Also, number two, lover bears everything, bears meaning, also kind of patience. The last one, lover stands everything, also, you know, patience. So in order to build up the body of Christ, we need, you know, patience. See that, verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. All meaning, all including unbelievers. So, right here, verse 15, God told us we shouldn't pay back evil for evil. Why shouldn't we pay back evil for evil? First, in God's commandment, God's word said, you know, no one renders, no one meaning, no exception, no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Anyone meaning not only Christians, but also unbelievers. Always pursue what is good, both for yourselves, your Christians, or for all, you know, including non-Christians too. Number one, God's commandment. Number two, if Christians pay back evil, or you know, Christians are doing evil, so unbelievers see Christians doing evil, so the Christians cannot become salt and light to the world. We should be an example to the world. Then the world, unbelievers, may have opportunity to follow us. So secondly, the salt and light role may be disqualified if we pay back evil for evil. The last reason is God said revenge is mine. So God will revenge evil for evil. So we have no authority to pay back evil for evil according to God's word. Rejoice always. How can we rejoice always? Even if in hardship, like health hardship, financial hardship, family hardship, how can we rejoice always, evermore? So we should acknowledge the presence of God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. So God, the Almighty, is always with me. So He saved me with His Son, bloodshed. He gives me everlasting life, eternal life. Those kinds of things should be acknowledged by us. Then we can overcome any hardship over finance, family, has in our life. So also God said, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So first question, whether or not we love God? So if we say yes, second question, whether or not I am called according to God's purpose? Yes. So two conditions are satisfied. If so, we know that the result or the end of this hardship will be good, would be good, because all things work together for good. Because I love God, because I am called according to God's purpose. Because of God's word, so we can have acknowledgement of God's presence all my life, during all my life. Therefore, we can rejoice evermore, always in our life, even if we suffer hardship, like health, finance, or family quarrel, or, you know, and so on. Then pray without ceasing. Without ceasing meaning pray without stopping. So how can we pray without ceasing? This meaning not, you know, 24 hours, you know, praying, you know, kneeling down, you know, worshiping. This is simply meaning the acknowledgement of a consistent God's presence. So whenever you are doing, you are living in your life, you should acknowledge, you know, God's presence with you. That meaning, you know, prayer meaning communication with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say three kinds of big forms. The first prayer, worship. For example, the Lord's Prayer, Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is a worship. So glorify God in worship. Worship kind of a form, we give a thanks to the Lord. Also, giving something to the Lord. That is a worship kind of form. Second form is a petition. So you may give a petition to the Lord. Lord, you know, give me for daily bread, or to heal me, or, you know, cure my illness, that kind of petition for yourself. Second petition for others, we call the intercession. Intercessionary prayer, you pray for others. Right now, you may pray for your roommate, or you may pray for your assistant, you may pray for your manager, or the President Obama, or you know, whoever. So that kind of prayer, that is we call an intercession. So three kinds of big prayer. So we pray without ceasing. How can we pray always? We should have a constant awareness and a communion with the Lord, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. By you know, that way, we can communicate with God the Father always. The last number eight, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we should give thanks to the Lord. Even if we suffer hardship, we still give thanks. Why? Because the result, the end of the present hardship would be good, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good, according to his purpose. Also, all hardship is in control of God, the Almighty. So, ultimately, God will get victory over any hardship. That's why we can give thanks to everything, in everything, or you know, for everything. In Ephesians said, give thanks for everything. First Thessalonians said, give thanks in everything. The verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So do not quench the spirit. Quench meaning extinguish or put off the spirit. The spirit is a person of Godhead. God had three persons. So the first person, God the Father. Second person, Son of God. Third person, the Holy Spirit. So we call the three persons in one Godhead. That's called triunity. So three persons in one unity. So one unity means one God. So three persons, God the Father, Son of God, the Holy Spirit, three persons. That's called simple word as Trinity. Trinity meaning triunity. So that is the spirit is one person. So the all three persons equal, you know, God the Father, Son of God, the Holy Spirit equal, co-equal. So Trinity, each person co-equal, co-eternal, co-existence. So there is one person, the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, you know, three kinds of play functions. Number one, the work. The Holy Spirit is working, such as the Holy Spirit leading us, the Holy Spirit teaching God's word through us, the Holy Spirit is working through somebody, communions with somebody. That is the first one. Also, second is the Holy Spirit's fruit. So the Galatians chapter 5 talk about the fruit, you know, agape love, or you know, the patience, you know, meekness, or such a thing, you know, 19, you know, description, fruit. The last one is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the First Corinthians chapter 14. So gift is like, you know, tongue, you know, prophecy, or healing, like that. But here, do not be surprised at prophecies. Prophecies is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this one is the gift which the Holy Spirit gives to us, to Christians, to edify His church. So therefore, we should not despise prophecies, but we should test all things, because some prophecies not coming from God, but from man or from devil. So we should, you know, test all things, you know. One example, the Bible said the prophecy case is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 said, he who prophesies speaks edification and education and comfort to man. So prophet, you should check, you know, this is edify, you know, or exhort, or comfort. So this one is edify. But if a certain prophet curses somebody, so because the Bible said prophet is not cursing somebody. Prophet edify, building up somebody, exhort, encourage and correction. The last one, comfort or support. So because if somebody make a prophet of a curse, that's against, contrary to the Bible. The 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3, that's why we cannot accept it. The number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So we should check each prophecy according to the word of God in the Bible. That means test all things. Hold fast what is good. So we should care to hold on to the good thing. What is good? Good is the thing within the scope of the word of God in the Bible is called as good in the Bible. So otherwise is evil. Abstain from every form of evil. So abstain from every appearance of evil. One example. One pastor, he loved Coke. So his home cross street bar, you know, liquor bar. Liquor bar, you know, is selling Coke. So one night he visited on the liquor bar, so he bought just a Coke, so he drinking. But unfortunately, one church member saw the pastor visited on the bar, so that's why, you know, she asked him, you know, yesterday night I saw you came from the bar. So that kind of appearance of evil. So he said, I'm sorry, you know, I bought the Coke, not, you know, beer, not, you know, alcohol, liquor, something like that. So in the next time, he avoided the appearance of evil, so he never went to the bar at all, rather than to the grocery in order to buy, you know, Coke. That kind of an example too. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So this one is the God will make you holy. Why? Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will dwell in you. So the Holy Spirit is making you holy. So not you. The God of peace himself. So the Holy Spirit himself sanctify you completely, fully. May your whole spirit, whole meaning entire, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body is called as the triunity of man. This is the same meaning too. Tri is the three elements. One is spirit, second is soul, the last one body. So all, you know, three, you know, co-equal elements, that is one unity, one man. So each human being has three parts. One is spirit, the other one is soul, the last one body. So if, you know, body or flesh controls your soul, that's called fleshly mind. If a spirit controls your soul, they're called spiritually mind. So we should keep on spiritual mind rather than fleshly mind. So, but unfortunately, we cannot divide between spirit and soul very hard, you know, hardly, in order to divide or distinguish spirit, you know, with the soul. Is not easy. Only one way, according to Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God can divide between soul and spirit. So if you can discern the Spirit over our soul with the Word of God, so we can see, you know, three elements of a human being. But if you do not bring Word of God, so it's hard to distinguish between Spirit and soul. You know, that case is a biunity of a man. So that is here talking about the three elements, Spirit, soul, and body, should be blameless, meaning or holy. Who can do it? So the Holy Spirit can sanctify us, you know, hold things blameless. He who called you is faithful. So the Lord called you. So the Lord is faithful. Faithful meaning He does not reach His own word. He will accomplish His word, which also will do it. So the Lord will make us blameless, make us holy. Brethren, pray for us. So brethren, brothers of Timothy and church members called brethren, brothers in the body of Christ, pray for us. Us meaning the 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 said, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So three people. So pray for ministers, disciples, and Silas and Timothy. So Timothy is a like-minded person as our disciple Paul. So Paul, Silas, Timothy, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. So greet, you know, each other. So for example, during our Sunday sermon, we said, you know, shall you stand up, you know, greet each other. Or, you know, like that, you know, greeting. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, or this letter, meaning the First Thessalonians letter, be read to all the holy brethren. So like us, you know, so we are reading, we read, you know, all epistle, the First Thessalonians right now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This last verse is a benediction. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you in a sunrise facility. Amen simply means yes. So let's see each answer to each question. What purpose did disciple give a series of exhortations to Thessalonians for? The purpose is to comfort each other and to edify one another to the body of Christ. So verse 11 is the answer. So again, the number one question's answer, the purpose is to comfort each other and to build one another up to the body of Christ. Number two, why shouldn't we pay back evil for evil? Because verse 15, God's commandment, no one renders evil for evil. So second is Jesus asked us to be salt and light. If we do evil in order to revenge to evildoer, so where our salt and light role might be disqualified. So the last question is, God said, revenge is mine. So to pay back evil for evil's authority belongs to the law, not to us. That's why we shouldn't pay back evil for evil, or we shouldn't get even evil for evil. Last question, how can we rejoice always, even among a lot of hardship in our life? There is only one, a constant acknowledgement of God's presence or communion with us. So God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So He knows everything, the past, the present, and the future. He can do whatever He wants, He pleases. Also, He is everywhere, not only sunrise or other places. So He is with me. He has a communion with me. So that kind of acknowledgement gives us a joyful heart, a joyful mind, so we can rejoice evermore, always in our life. Bless you. Let's pray together to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day